Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek, how are you?
Hello, and good evening, listeners.
Good evening. You think this is an evening listen?
I think a lot of people think, after they finish work, we really want to think, how am I going to spend my 2 hours of free time in my life?
Before I fall asleep to get up again.
What am I going to have to look forward to as the climax of my day?
And it's this. It's pretty much this for most people. They just put it on in their living room, maybe on a sort of iPhone dock.
What's it like that. In Africa? A lot of families gather round. I mean, this is going to sound a bit racist and dated.
Oh, really?
To the one wireless they've got in the village.
Right, yes.
And they listen to it.
Yeah.
And they talk about it all week in films that we
I mean, I think about. Some parts of Wales, it's exactly the same.
No, they don't have that in Wales. They just have someone transcribes it, and they put it right in mud on the writing wall.
And then the local priest just reads it out
every Sunday.
Yeah, every Sunday. Wow. So the podcast is growing, is basically what we're saying.
Or shrinking.
Not shrinking. Well, who knows? Who knows? I mean, we could click the statistics tab, and then we'd know exactly how many people listen to this. But you know what, Marek? I really can't be bothered.
I have looked at a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And amazingly, we managed to just stay roughly the same.
Oh, well, that's good. So we managed to appeal to as many people as we put off.
Or maybe...
Because it might be a completely different...
Maybe 1,000 new people each week listen to it and think, oh, I'm not listening to that shit again.
And a thousand regular listeners disappear at the same time.
Yeah.
And just rotates like that.
Well, who cares?
Who, indeed, cares? I should say, before we start, we are sponsored by HerFilmProject.com, who are an organisation that help promote diverse voices in cinema. So if you would like to get your film sponsored, or would like some help doing it, or whatever you want to do, just you're interested in this cause, then go to herfilmproject.com.
But if you're completely normal,
then maybe take an interest in other people, yeah?
Or do something to make yourself less normal.
Like cut your arm off.
Do one of your ears, probably.
Yeah, one of your ears. That'll do it, won't
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Get a pig tattoo on your face.
Can you still hear if you cut your ear off? Because it's just a shape around your ear, isn't it?
Yes, I think the actual shape is made to attract...
bees.
Yeah. it's almost like a... You know when you old people have those things they stick in their ear and the tubes, the hearing, what they're
oh,
called?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What, a funnel?
Yeah, it's a bit like a funnel, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. A friend of mine's dad... used to work at the, maybe still does, at the University of York, and had a microphone that was a moulded human head with a perfect rendition of an ear, so you could get the closest sound that a human hears.
Oh.
So it was a microphone inside a human ear, and the head was called Frank, after Frank Zappa. There you go. Little window into the past for you there.
It's nice.
It's nice, isn't it? Right. We're going to talk about films today, as we always do every week. And I have been to the cinema this time, Marek.
Yes?
I've been to the cinema to see a huge film. In fact, I went to see it in IMAX.
Really?
IMAX plus laser.
What's plus laser?
Haven't a clue. Still don't know. But I enjoyed the
fact. Did you notice any lasers?
Just one laser beam across the screen. Really annoying the entire time. No, plus laser.
Do you pay more for them writing laser on the ticket?
Yeah, I think you have to pay for the extra ink. Yeah. Plus laser.
This one's plus laser, so that's never £8. What does laser do? Just a guy.
Just a guy. His name's Laser.
His name is Lawrence Azer.
And he's in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't actually the BFI IMAX, which, if anyone's ever been to the BFI IMAX in London, the British Film Institute, there's a proper nerdy guy who's clearly far too overqualified for his job, who is in a spotlight at the beginning of a presentation with a microphone. He's like, "Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the BFI IMAX, the largest cinema in Northern Europe," or whatever he says. And he does this whole speech. I went to the IMAX that is in the same building as a casino on Leicester Square.
And oh, right, okay. I didn't know that.
This clearly a very underpaid man comes out at the beginning into a spotlight and just goes, "Welcome to the IMAX, your exits are there, enjoy the film," and leaves.
Probably the projectionist, they make him go and do it.
And then he has to run round to start the film.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All your life thinking, "I'll be a projectionist, I'll be able to sit in a dark room, and I won't have to go and
speak watch
to
films anyone. Like I'm doing anyway."
Yeah, and then
perfect job.
And then some prick comes along and says, "Listen, Gavin, I'm afraid there isn't enough budget. We need someone to tell people where the exits are." And then his perfect job's turned into a horror.
Where
every day he has to stand up in front of 1,000 or so people.
Well, people say that cinema is under threat, but Marek, there were 7 people in that IMAX screen, so they must be raking it in.
Yeah, but that's why they're putting extra laser on.
Exactly.
Just bright laser and they're charging another £10. How much were the tickets for that, man?
£20. £20.
And what did you
At least it was in 2D, so I got that value for money.
What did you go and see?
I went to see Fast and Furious 8. Now, I would like to point out, I have never seen a Fast and Furious film.
There are 8 of them now. Why did you go? Was it the really inclement weather outside and you thought, "Where can I go for 2 hours?
You know what? I looked at what was on at the cinema and there was nothing that... It was actually the specific time. There was nothing on at the specific time I had free to go and see something. So wandered round quite a few cinemas, you know, and ended up going, "You know what? Because there are 8 of these and I haven't a clue other than, you know, it's got Vin Diesel and The Rock and it's about cars. I've not seen these."
Yeah.
It might be quite interesting to come in at the 8th one and see what the hell's going
on. I've seen the trailer for it, because I had to do some work where I had to watch a trailer for it. And it just seems that by number 8, they're probably having to think of really weird stuff to do with cars.
Yeah.
Like driving up people's arses.
Well, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Well, you're wrong there. I mean, that's not what they do. I mean, that's inner space, isn't it? I mean,
That would be good. Inner space meets Fast and Furious.
You could call it micro machines.
Yeah, or bum cars.
Or bum cars, yeah, or bum cars. So, Inner Space 2, bum cars.
I'd watch that.
Or Inner Space 2, colon cars.
God, I mean,
that's clever,
you need really strong windscreen wipers.
Really strong. And some hella tyres on
there.
Yeah. Slippery. It'd be really slippery.
Just those windscreen... Oh, God. And just make sure you've closed that window.
Mm.
Extra rubber bits around the window, sealant.
Extra sealant, yeah. Yeah.
But that'll be a second one, extra sealant, you could call it. Go on, let's talk about it.
Fast and Furious 8. This is... the story, do I need to tell you? I mean...
Does it reference the story?
It references a lot. I mean... None of it's very deep, so I could, you know, pick up what was happening or guess what had happened in the past.
Yeah.
And, but it's about this guy Dom and his crew, who seem to be sort of international criminals, but everything they do involves driving fast in cars.
Is Dom Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel, yes. And then there's his wife, played by Michelle Rodriguez, who is.
I thought that was his sister from the trailer.
No, that's his wife. And then, seemingly his best friend, or, you know, other super guy in the troupe, Hobbs, played by The Rock.
I've just typed in Fast and Furious in IMDb, and it's already come up with Fast and Furious 9, 2019.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious 10, 2021.
Yeah. They're huge. Okay, basically, if I can try and explain what Fast and Furious film is, try and imagine either... Team America World Police done with human beings.
Mm.
Or a really, really well-crafted version of a child playing on a carpet with some toy cars and some action figures. Like, it is pure childish just imagination of... And then we go and we rob the bank by going... Brum, 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 Like, but I have to give it credit. It is done so well. You just buy into it because it knows exactly what it is. There isn't a drop of pretension in it. It's like a live-action film of WWE wrestling. So there's fighty bits, and then in between, really quite sort of sentimentalism of guys going, "We were family, and then you betrayed that family, and there's nothing more important than family. Let's drive."
And that stunt's really good, though. Or...
Brilliant, brilliant. You know, and that's the problem with many action things is they jump too fast, and they're giving it this false pace when you can't actually tell the choreography of what's happening. These are brilliantly shot. Really, really fun. And I have to say, Jason Statham, who I believe played the baddie in a previous one, and in this one he's forced into working with them when Kurt Russell tells him to.
Kurt Russell's in it,
and Statham's mum, who is a kind of Barbara Windsor-style Cockney gangster, is played by Helen Mirren. Like, it's got everyone in this. Anyway...
I'm just looking at the budget while you're talking about
it. There is a sequence at the end where... and it's not spoilers, guys, because who honestly cares? But where Jason Statham has to take on an entire plane of bad guys on his own with a gun whilst rescuing a baby. So he's holding a baby carrier the entire time he's doing this fight sequence. And whenever he's cleared a room, puts it down to make sure the baby's still smiling away. It is brilliant cinema.
Yeah.
That bit specifically is just like, this is fucking brilliant. It reminds me of Hard Boiled, but with a better sense of humour. Like, there are bits of this that are so enjoyable from just the, you know, it's cars and daftness. Like, it is so heightened and strange. The very idea that you could have a team of international criminals who somehow driving cars is all they ever seem to do. Like, they never... never kill anyone or break into anything or do it, you know, just driving.
And you're going to go back to Fast and Furious 9, it sounds like.
Well, probably. Whether I'll go back to 1 through 7, I don't know. Charlize Theron is the baddie as well.
Did it help being in a bit IMAX screen? I mean, was that, did that really, is that the way to watch it?
Well, that was the thing I was worrying about, was that it would be far too many jump cuts, and the IMAX makes that even worse, because you can't, you know, you're sort of just taking in the screen rather than looking at the specific bit of it all the time. And it worked very well. And I think there was talk of a spin-off with Charlize Theron's baddie and was it The Rock or Jason Statham? Anyway, I don't know, but it's completely daft fun. Turn your brain off 100%. Like, everyone has their one thing that's important to them and they talk about it a lot.
Guess what the budget was?
Oh my god, I haven't even a clue. 250 million? I can't even
exactly
remember.
Exactly right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's grossed, we got almost 100 million on its opening weekend, and it's currently grossed 163 million, so we'll probably make that one, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Also, there was a touching tribute to Paul Walker.
He died in the previous one, didn't he?
Yeah, he died making the previous one. But I believe had been in all of them.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's seven films, which is probably 14 years of their lives together. So that's, it's, you know, quite significant. But no, it's an entire cultural phenomenon that had passed me by. And if you want to know everything about American culture in terms of the American pop culture, where they currently are, see this film. It is, you know, it's got a refreshing, they don't use guns as much as they would have done in the 80s. Yeah. There's still a love of guns, but there is more a love of cars than guns in this.
Yeah.
There's very much it's about family and friendship, and there's a very superficial layer of Christianity, but the Christianity's sort of going, but it's there, but it doesn't really matter. A real fear of technology, and the Russians and the Cold War coming back. And,
oh, that's
you know,
good.
It's all, you know, just go to Fast and Furious 8 and you go, oh yeah, there's America in liquid form. It's liquid America, this film.
When do you think, and this is for listeners at home or on their travel journeys, when do you think the first Fast and Furious film came out?
Oh, shit. 2004?
2001.
No.
I mean, so this is a good job to get. 16 year. 2001.
And you get to sit down for most of it. Stunt drivers do all the driving. Yeah. If you're Vin Diesel, you just go, oh, morning, Vin. You sleep all right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, well, get into your really comfy chair in that Lamborghini and we'll just go through some of the lines.
And there's literally 10 films. Work all the way through to 2021. I need to get in that. I need to get in some sort of car film. Sorry, that's me.
Well, there's clearly an enormous ensemble cast, and they do cameos of people from previous films and stuff. I was like, okay, didn't get what was happening there, but fine.
How many Davids you give it?
I think I'd give it. I enjoyed it. It is not trying to be anything it isn't. You know, I think it's probably a 7. Just cars driving around. It's weirdly fun.
Well, thanks to that remark, Fast and Furious 8 is going to make another 100 million pounds.
Yeah, I mean,
after the film Fandango endorsement.
Once you've seen the opening sequence in Cuba, you go, okay, I get this. It is complete gibberish. My favourite thing Vin Diesel says is one of the first lines he has. And he says to this Cuban gangster who is trying to steal his cousin's car off him because he owes him money. He says, it doesn't matter what's under the bonnet. It's who's behind the wheel that counts. He's just like, I'm pretty sure that's not true, but fine. Yes. Let's go. Vin Diesel could get into any car and beat any other car in a race.
They should just do all one rubbish cars.
Oh, that's the beginning.
They've probably done that.
That's
the beginning. Is it? Okay, all right.
He gets in a clapped out old banger and tries to beat in a street race.
It's already been done. They're going to really run out of ideas.
Yeah.
Here we go, man. I think it's time
for this.
Here's a letter. I mean, we've got a lot of worse film letters. I must confess that I've not kept track of the emails properly.
Right.
So if we have forgotten to read your email out, please forgive us or send it through. But it's the admin area of Film Fandango. Really, we've had to sack our staff.
They've been very, very poor at it.
Here's one from Dave Shaw. Subject, films. Good start.
Good start.
Hello, Marek, David and Buddy. Last week, probably a few weeks ago, you were asked about films you like because of the subject matter that other people might find a bit poo. I'd like to propose a film for you to watch that fits into the category for me as a way of testing whether or not it is poo or excellent, as I see it. I think I may have emailed this about this a few weeks ago when I was drunk, but honestly, I'm not sure if I dreamt it or not. Immediately, I trust Dave, whatever his opinion is. The film is called Premature. I think we have talked this before, and came out in 2014. It has Craig Roberts and Alan Tudyk in it, and if you don't know anything about it really, it's probably best not to do any research beforehand, which is possibly the only link between it and Dear Zachary. Hope you enjoy it. Much love, Dave. So we'll keep an eye out for that.
I'm a big fan of Alan Tudyk. He's a very funny, talented man. Does a lot of voiceover stuff.
He's good in that. What those two, Bill and Bob, do the murder one, the psychopath, and they accidentally kill all those kids.
Oh, Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
That's it, not Bill and Bob.
Not Bill and Bob. He's also the comedy robot in Rogue One.
Oh, okay. Here is a letter from friend of the show. Oh, we missed this, Michael. You just sent this in just after we recorded the worst films.
Yes.
But here is Michael Legg's opinion on the worst film ever made.
Michael Legg says, Dear David and Marek, I'm delighted that you're doing a worst ever film special. It gives me a chance to write in with two films that I doubt anyone else will choose, but which are definitely absolutely embarrassingly awful. Please read this out in the accent of a man born and raised in Northern Ireland, but has clearly lived in London for a long time.
What are you doing, Michael Legg impression?
No, my Northern Irish is not even close.
Mine's just really racist.
Right. No, that's quite good.
That's it, isn't it? Just make those sounds.
That's it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's racist. Right. Firstly, Marek, you are wrong. Whiplash is the worst fucking film ever made. It is awful. There are no likable characters. The writer-director has clearly made this bullshit as a wank fantasy about himself. There's a woman in it, but they totally forget she exists about a third of the way through. It is so embarrassingly pretentious that I want to shit out my own skeleton. And as for metaphors, Jesus wept. Whiplash is amazing. There's blood, sweat and tears on the drums. Oh, as a metaphor? No, it's actual blood, sweat and tears, just in case you're too thick to fucking get it. Pigging fucking awful. David, you are wrong. Shame is the worst fucking film ever. Where to even begin? Ooh, he's a sex addict. How do we know? Because he has a wank at work. Wow, what a deviant. Well, I'm pretty sure that is deviant. But surely a sex addict will make for a boring character. Don't worry, Fassbender makes him very layered. Look, when he gets home after having one wank, he puts on classical music on vinyl and then has an argument with his naked sister. Fucking hell. Then he takes a woman out for dinner. Honestly, he's sex mad. During the dinner scene, the waiter actually tells us, the viewers, what the restaurant specials are that evening. That ended up in the final film. Then he pours the loudest bottle of wine you've ever heard, which kept me laughing for the rest of the film. Then Sally Sparrow from Doctor Who sings for 10 minutes. Absolute dog shit. I love your podcast. Keep watching some of the films. Well, no, I mean, they're all true points. I mean, I had similar feelings to Michael about Whiplash. I still enjoyed it, kind of, but for me, it was a sports film written by someone who knows nothing about music. That's the thing. It bared no resemblance to any of my experiences with musicians or music or anything like that. It just seemed total lies. That doesn't matter, I suppose. I enjoyed... what's his name?
The young lad who's since been in Fantastic Four and
not him so much as
J.K. Simmons.
I wanted to call him J. Jonah Jameson, and I was like, nope, that's his character he plays in Spider-Man. But yeah,
no. I should respond to that. I rewatched Whiplash about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I still loved it.
Right,
I think the performances are brilliant. They're really over the top. J.K. Simmons is a great villain. And it's just enjoyable every time he comes on screen. The soundtrack is absolutely incredible.
Mm.
I loved it. And the fact they're making a whole drum sequence just at the action finale. The finale is incredible. I do agree the sort of crash thing, it does get
Good. It's very good storytelling, I think.
I love the fact that Miles Teller is unlikable and puts music before his relationship, and that's what you have to do to be a success at something. Is that cold? And he was done in 17 days. What can you do in 17 days, Michael Legg? You try and shoot a film, and then let's all criticise that. Well, let's see if that gets up for the Oscars, and then you can go and do a shit in your own mouth.
Wow, what do you think about that? Well, I think you know. I think it proves Whiplash divides people a bit.
Well, I don't know what happened to me then.
No. Well, put your clothes back on and carry on.
I forgot. There's milk everywhere.
Everywhere? Where's this milk come from?
Are you going... I really like Shame as well.
I enjoyed Shame at the time. I see Michael's point that perhaps being... Again, maybe it's being a sex addict is slightly different to how it was presented in that.
I think what I've learned from that email is that Michael Legg has clearly had a wank at work, which is worrying because he is a stand-up comedian. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, shall we crack on with... there's a letter which relates to the film. As usual, we've been picking your recommendations. And this letter came in from Ben Evans. I shall read it out now.
Bevins.
Mm-hmm. Hi, American David. I recently watched James Bond, the Craig David Daniel Craig years, and quite enjoyed them. Skyfall, I read this wrong. So when looking on Netflix, I saw Kingsman, The Secret Service. I thought I might like this too. Thinking from the title, it would be in a similar vein. Bear in mind, I also like Luc Besson films. When I say, oh my God, this was so good, how have I never heard of this? I mean, it's really bad as usual. It's rather a confusing film as it gives quite a big nod to James Bond, but appears to be more like Harry Potter-esque kids film, but with extreme violence. I'm very confused to who it was aimed at. The violence scenes are quite confusingly clever. They're ultra-violent, but made to look slightly CGI, so they won't look nasty. They're fast, slick, a bit Guy Ritchie, but very watchable. A similar thing happened to that man in that bit in Bone Tomahawk. But in Kingsman, I happily watch it and think, haha, that's nicely done. The cast is pretty amazing too. The storyline is kind of what you want from a Harry, Bond, James Potter film. It has a bit of everything in it, a few twists, a few Game of Thrones moments, Attack the Block style character growth, and even a bit of zombie action for good measure. It's bonkers clever and I love it. Watch if you haven't already. 9 out of 10 Bens. Keep watching the films.
Yes, so Kingsman The Secret Service, it came out in 2014. I saw it back then, and to make sense a bit of what Ben was saying there, it's a Matthew Vaughn film. So you may know the director Matthew Vaughn, who did Kick-Ass, and also Stardust, which I thought was excellent as well, and he did X-Men First Class as well. So he's got a real eye for action and comedy, and also heightened worlds and making it just fun, just filling the screen with fun, really. So, and there's a sequel to Kingsman The Secret Service coming out, I think, later this year, called Kingsman The Golden Circle.
They just released the trailer, yeah.
Yeah. But what did you think of this first?
Well, I was put off, as a regular cinema goer, they trailered the shit out of this about last year or the year before, I can't remember. It was always on, and I thought, this film is not for me, because I really hate that hero. I really hate sort of that whole,
it's quite superhero-y.
I don't like the idea of the gangsters, everyone speaking like this and then it's cool.
Yeah.
And there's something cool about being quite violent and aggressive, and I hadn't like that in Welcome to the Punch, you know, those films really put me off. So I avoided this like the plague. But then I was working in the fields chopping down trees with my little brother.
Sure.
And we wanted to watch something that was, you know, I thought, just give this a try. And after the letter came in, and I really enjoyed it.
It's fun, isn't it?
I was really surprised, because I thought this is not much is aimed at sort of 14, 15 year olds, but Colin Firth is great in
Colin
it.
Firth's so much fun. It's got all of the supporting cast.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine's sort of the head of MI. Six or whatever it is. Samuel L. Jackson is weirdly doing a different character as the villain.
His different character is basically Samuel Jackson, but with a lisp.
A different character in the way that sketch comedians like us would do a different character.
Just put the lisp on it lisp and then on, completely
and put the cap on.
Yeah.
Put on a hat.
Mark Strong, Mark Hamill's in
Mark Hamill's in it. It was one of the first sort of major films where we got to see Mark Hamill again before Star Wars geared up. It's there's one action sequence that is shot so beautifully in the church, the one in the Westboro Baptist Church equivalent.
I mean, the ultra-violent scenes are done, and I'm not an action fan. I really enjoyed The Equalizer, the way they did it.
Yeah.
And this was done, like you said, in The Fast and the Furious, when it's done well. And I think recently, a lot of years, it's been rushed, and they almost try and trick you into thinking this is an action film by doing loads of quick cutaways, so you can't follow it, so you feel confused.
The film Gladiator has a lot to answer for, which I believe came out in 2000, because Gladiator was, I think, a good film, a very good film, but it popularised a form of close-in, quick-cutting, plus shaky cam of violence, so that you really got a sense that you were in amongst the throng of it, and you couldn't quite tell what was going on. And it's very hard to watch, and you sort of go, but everyone kind of copied that.
Yeah.
And now just seeing people who are fucking good at doing their jobs, you know, stunt performers or whatever, just doing some, you know.
Well, I think The Raid influenced that. I think that was a big thing.
We're back again to something more interesting.
Yeah, and using slow, people use slow-mo, and this feels like it's half a bit like The Raid, a bit like, I thought Sin City was very good. This feels a bit cartoony, and it's quite heightened, so.
Well, that's Matthew Vaughn.
Yeah, so you don't mind there being extreme violent things.
Exactly.
Because it's tongue-in-cheek.
It's very much like a comic book movie, really, isn't it? Yeah. And it is all tongue-in-cheek. I mean, the entire existence of this sort of shadowy organisation who puts above all else dressing well, you know, it's like, it's ridiculous. It's knowingly playing on British culture.
Yeah.
You know.
If it was like what Bond... If Bond had gone the Roger Moore way... And gone
alternate reality, yeah.
Camper and camper,
yeah.
And sort of Bond towards Carry On, but not that crass.
Yeah, yeah.
This feels that this is the way Bond has gone, whereas now Bond's become quite dull and quite
irrelevant as
navel gazing a bit, and just you don't want to see that. You want to see the action, like in this film. So I enjoyed this much more than I enjoyed recent Bond films.
Yeah, there is one line, people talk about it a lot because it jars. There is one line of dialogue at the end where it's everyone who was enjoying it just went, "You what?"
With the princess.
Yeah, with the princess in the cell.
It's just totally
out of nowhere and unnecessary and kind of horrible. And that actually dominated people's timelines about. Yeah, because people were like, "I enjoyed this film, but I'm sort of right at the end. I don't want to tell you to go see it because it was horrible."
Yeah, it's not funny. And you think what? And it just sort of is a thing of maybe a 13-year-old boy would think.
Also, it's an incredible betrayal of it's paper thin, but the betrayal of that female character, because she was someone with a brain and in earlier scenes, and now she's been reduced to this sort of wank fantasy.
And also about 20 years older than
Eggsy,
who is played by the same guy who played
Eddie the Eagle
not very well, but he plays this much better, I think.
Yeah. Mark Strong's in it as well as Merlin. I think he's very good, being Scottish.
Yeah,
he's fun.
Taron Egerton plays Eggsy.
Well, yeah, the sequel looks fun. Sort of most of their main cast are coming back, and yeah, we'll see. I mean, I like Matthew Vaughn films. You know, have you seen Stardust?
Yeah, I thought it was all right. Ricky Gervais just really annoyed me in it.
Oh yeah, it was around that time when Ricky Gervais was trying to make it in cameos in bigger films, and Robert De Niro was still doing comedy, and yeah, so those bits are a bit glaring, but it's fine. I really enjoyed it. I think it's an excellent film. You know,
this was good. I'm going to give this 8 merits because I was so surprised.
Well, you might also be pleased, Merrick, that although it's a remake, Matthew Vaughn is rumoured to be directing a Flash Gordon film.
I don't know. I'm really worried about them remaking that.
Well, because the thing is, though, with Flash Gordon,
it was so perfect.
It was, but it still will be. There's an entire world that you could do in utterly differently, couldn't you?
But everything wrong with Flash Gordon
is what makes it right.
Yes.
Right, I was just thinking just then about the appalling costumes of the lizard men in Ming's court. Do you remember them? Who seem to have a face inside their mouth.
Yes, yeah, they're great.
Rubbish, but brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, all the costumes were great.
Yeah.
And really, and just the colouring of it. I can just feel, when I think of Flash Gordon, that just red, vibrant colours.
But you know what, it's such a wrong decision. It would never be made these days to make it that heightened and ridiculous. It makes it alien.
Yeah.
So when you look at it, you go, "Oh, I can't even relate to this place. It's so garish. Why have they done it? Why?" But it makes it alien. I think that's what's good about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like Matthew Vaughn films.
Well, that's about it.
That's about it for this week. If you'd like to write in, then please go to filmfandango.com and you can fill out the form there. And we will read your email out on the programme. Also, we do all of this for free. So if you'd like to thank us or help us with our running costs, then again, go to filmfandango.com and click the donate button. Everyone who has, thank you very much. We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.